Feel free to carry on ministering quietly, no problem at all. But I'm just going to minister a little bit of word. I felt today I was just to go right back to basics. It's Pentecost Sunday, we know that. It's awesome to have days of the year when you particularly focus or particularly remember. But you know, if you're really in Christ, every day is a Pentecost Sunday and a Pentecost day in the sense of Holy Spirit has come. And the Holy Spirit, if you've received the Holy Spirit, He doesn't leave you and doesn't depart from you. Your emotions may go up and down. The intensity of experiences may go up and down. That's beside the point. The issue is He doesn't leave. But sometimes it does need to be refocused and there needs to be a refanning and a reconnecting emotionally and our thinking and our faith. But Father, we just thank You. We just need to give opportunity to give. Feel free to keep ministering here. Don't be in a hurry. Don't have to be in a hurry. Feel free to keep ministering. Let's just give opportunity for people to give to the Lord today, just in tithes and offerings. Father, we thank You now for the power. Your word says the power. You give us the power to get wealth. And it's the word wealth, not riches. The wealth mindset is different to the riches mindset. The wealth mindset thinks generationally, thinks empowerment, thinks blessing of other people, it thinks purpose. The rich mindset can just squander it all on themselves. But You give us the power to get wealth. And so Father, today we honor You with our wealth. We honor You with the provision that all ultimately has come from You anyway. And we honor You in the tithe, and we honor You in gifts, and gifts privately, but also gifts publicly. We just thank You, Lord, for the rebuking of the devourer, the opening of the windows of heaven, that dimension of revelation. Lord, we thank You for bread to eat and seed to sow. We thank You for it all, and we honor You. You are our source in all things, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just want to honor the team that came in over the weekend. Thank you for being here. I know we didn't get to your testimony, but it's been a lot happening this morning. And you all okay? Yeah, I had about 40 minutes of message, I suppose, but now I'll just take it down to 5. I always like to remind, regularly like to remind Pete, but I'd like to welcome Jeannie Knott here. Jeannie Knott, God bless. Is it Jeannie or Jeannie? Jeannie. I thought it was Jeannie. You're along with your husband, Michael formerly, but I know him as Mike. You led Wellington City Elam? For how many years? Quite a few. Yeah, quite a few. And then you've been various other ministry roles since then. I think you're on the West Coast now, is that right? Ministering. So just thank you so much for being here. I remember going up to 2 breakthrough conferences in Wellington that you and Mike hosted. I think you had Cindy Jacobs over. I think you might have had Claudio Friedson or some of those guys back in a couple of years ago. We just want to thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here with your daughter. And just bless you for what you've done for the body of Christ and for people generally. And Stefan's here now living in Nelson, beautiful Tasman Bay, but had been in Tianau for many years. What was the name of the church in Tianau? Fjord and New Life Church in Tianau. You built that building, didn't you? Yeah, you built that building, and there's been a whole lot of transition since, of course, and the journey of a church, and Wayne and Nikki Watson, they're in there now and helping to, do this and that. But we just really honour you, and thank you for all the effort you sowed into, all the things you've sowed into Fjordland and way beyond. And, very good, thank you. And the rest of the team that are here, thank you for being here. The first mention of Holy Spirit is in Genesis. 1:1-3. And when you're reading scripture, whenever something is mentioned for the very first time, the Hebrews have this literary principle. It's called the law of first mention. And often within that first mention are the principles and some of the qualities of how that principle or that person or that spirit or that dimension of God Himself will actually operate from then on. It's called the law of first mention. So study that. And so we look at the law of first mention and creation of the earth or ordering of the earth and creation of everything on the earth. We see Holy Spirit absolutely involved. And so just quickly turning to it, Genesis 1:1-3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So here we have in this chaotic, some people say a recreation situation. I don't know about that. I wasn't there. Some people say it was just the first phase of creation of that. However you understand that, God understands it perfectly. We don't always. You hear what I'm saying? And so, nevertheless, regardless of whether it was second time around or what, doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit was hovering. So we have over the face of the deep, over the face of the chaos, the darkness, over the void, over the unformed material, we have the Holy Spirit brooding. That's a picture of our lives. While we were in darkness and void and without form, in terms of our spiritual makeup, the Holy Spirit was moving. Holy Spirit was moving on your life long before you came to Christ. That's the bottom line. Holy Spirit may have been moving in your life in the womb. He may have been moving on your life in preschool if you ever went to one. I knew what that meant till I was 18. Preschool for me were the water races and the sheds and the fruit trees around our house at Rolleston. That was my preschool. And best preschool ever. And it's where I learned to make boats. And some of them floated. And right in the beginning, so before we ever come to Christ, it doesn't matter how chaotic our life is and how formless our life is, or whether it's gone from some sort of order into chaos, and there could be deep darkness, but the Holy Spirit can be brooding. And the Holy Spirit broods over people's lives. The Holy Spirit broods over people's lives because grandmother prayed two to three generations ago. Hear what I'm saying? Holy Spirit can be brooding over a person's life because their grandfather made a great decision to follow the Lord, even though that person never met him. The Holy Spirit can be brooding over a person's life for a range of reasons, but it takes the Holy Ghost. It takes the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit broods, a creative atmosphere or an atmosphere where anything is possible, an atmosphere where something can be created that was not there before. That's why we need atmospheres of Holy Spirit. That's why we need to be in times and in atmospheres where Holy Spirit is brooding, because revelation gets released, healing gets released, deliverance happens. All sorts of things happen in atmospheres of Holy Ghost. You know when you walk into an atmosphere and it's dead as a doornail. You know that. You know what that feels like, because your spirit cannot identify any tangible presence of Holy Spirit atmospherically. But you walk into an atmosphere where there's worship and there's praise and there's faith and there's attitude and there's people loving the love of God amongst the people for each other, and you've got an atmosphere of brooding Holy Ghost. And that's the atmosphere I love. That's the atmosphere I live for. That's the atmosphere we were born for. That's actually the atmosphere of heaven. So if you want heaven on earth in that sense, get Holy Ghost brooding. You hear what I'm saying? And Holy Spirit is always attracted to genuine spirit and truth worship of Jesus, of worship of the Father, what he's so attracted to. The other thing he's attracted to is when the saints genuinely love one another. Amen? It really is. And so we see this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and was void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then, in chapter and verse 3, then God said, let there be light. Or then, a more accurate translation may be, let the one who is light shine. Or light be. Because of English and the limitations of English, the way the translators have worked, we've got this, let there be light. And it's good. In this atmosphere of the brooding of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, the Word of God comes. And the Word of God does exactly what the Word of God was sent forth to do. Light be, and there's light. It's not the sun, not the moon. They haven't been they're not there yet. They're not glowing yet. This is the light of the glory of God. This is the light of God Himself. Light be, light shine, light is in this brooding of the Holy Ghost. And that's how it's been. There will always be more light. Come into your spirit and then come into your mind and renew you in the presence of and in the operation of the Holy Spirit. That's why the study of the Word in relation to honoring the presence and reliance on the Holy Spirit, is the most powerful combination when it comes to the study of your Word. You study it purely from an intellectual ivory tower kind of perspective or with some sort of so-called higher criticism, the Word will be dead to you. But you have the Holy Ghost involved, and the Word is alive because it's the light of God. Amen? Well, I like to read translations written by believers. Just saying. Then, in Genesis 1:26, in that same atmosphere, he said, let us make man in our image. Let us, Father, Word, Holy Ghost, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, let us make man in our image. Wow. You believe you came from a whole lot of processes, from a primordial swamp with a spark of electricity somewhere? Well, if you want to believe that, well, have your hopeless little life, but I don't believe that. If you believe you were formed without purpose, then why would you live with purpose? I don't believe that. That's fantasy. That's mythology. Just dressed up in scientific-sounding language. It's empty, it's dead, and more atheists are becoming disillusioned with the ideas and that idea. Even some of the forefront people have become disillusioned with it and have become people who accept there's a designer. They may not have made the jump to receiving Christ, but they realize that this creation is far too complex to have ever happened by random chance process. So just chuck that foolishness out the window and actually come into the light. The Holy Ghost is light. And so we were created purposely, deliberately, profoundly in the image of God Himself. In the image of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father, Word, Holy Spirit. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the cattle and all of the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Just let that be. Debate it at your own peril, but let it be. He created the male and female. End of story. But the thing is, we are profoundly created in the image of God. That's why when we connect with Holy Spirit, and we've connected with our Heavenly Father through His Son Jesus, our older brother, our Redeemer, and then you receive Holy Spirit, the picture is recompleted. Our spirit man is reconnected to the Spirit of Christ, to Christ Himself. We become one spirit with Him. So we become alive on the inside. We become very sensitive to Him. We become very open to Him. And we can close off if we get something stuck in here, but we can. But because we receive Him now, we can be open to Him, and now we can experience that brooding of the Holy Ghost and the Word coming to us and refashioning us and reforming us into the very expression of the image of God's Son Himself. You see, you cannot live following Christ without Holy Spirit. Without active engagement with Him, without communing with Him, without honoring Him. Let alone allowing Him to do whatever He wants. You know, one of the big issues in the 90s when there was that whole fresh wave of the Holy Ghost came through, that fresh outpouring that was just absolutely so glorious. One of the things it did is it really challenged people in terms of their dignity. You know, before that, people used to, some people would still argue about whether a woman should wear trousers or not. Well, in revival, trousers were very definitely the appropriate attire for ladies. Especially if they're on the floor with their legs sticking in the air. Trousers were a much better deal. So all that argument about dresses and trousers, that went out the window. Trousers were the thing. And one of the things that challenged people, though, was their dignity. Some people did not like the idea of anything strange-looking happening to them. So they withheld and resisted and backed off and said, I don't want any of that. Whole churches said, I don't want any of that. Some pastors and leaders said, I don't want any of that. Some pastors and leaders said, I don't want that in my church. It looks too untidy. Some people might get offended. Religious minds will always get offended. It's not the religious people I'm after. We're after the hungry. We're after the open. We're after the thirsty. Not after the religious. Not after everything, you know, not after the evangelical interpretation of everything done indecently and in order. I was raised with that. We had to fight some of those ideas to get liberated, to get free, so we could open the door to the Holy Ghost and allow the Holy Ghost to do whatever He wanted to do, because whatever the Holy Ghost does is the will of the Father. He's no different to Jesus in that sense. He only does what He sees His Father doing. He only does what's in the will of the Father, so that you can totally trust Holy Spirit. If somebody's having an experience sitting next to you and it looks a bit weird, that's okay. Afterwards, when you can get to talk with them, take that opportunity, ask them what was happening for them. You might find there was something profound happening for them. Either that or something was leaving. And that's a good thing. It's not everybody's welcome. You know, you hear what I'm saying. So John, Jesus promised the Holy Ghost. We know that John 14, I'm going to skim right through it now. Jesus promised Holy Spirit, promised He'd come, promised He'd pray the Father and the Father would send another helper, and I'd love to explore the word helper and parakletos and the beauty that's in that. It's not just somebody who helps carry out the rubbish. A helper in that sense. Far, far, far more wondrous and dynamic and engaged and powerful than that sort of idea. He's the Spirit of truth. He's not the Spirit of error. He's not the Spirit of false religion. He's not the Spirit that leads people into deception. He's the Spirit that leads into all truth. Then in John chapter 14, 26, the help of the Holy Spirit, whom I will send in my name, who the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. So He's our great teacher. We're totally reliant on Him for teaching. When you go into the Word, just ask Holy Spirit, what do you want to show me? He's the seal of our inheritance, in Ephesians chapter 1. He's the one who's given to us as the down payment for the fullness of our inheritance. He's the seal. He's the down payment. He's the one who seals us, but also it's the down payment for the fullness of the fullness of the inheritance. And the way I read it, the fullness of our inheritance is spiritual, but it's also natural. In the natural, it's because our bodies will be transformed from this mortal body into an immortal body. Corruptible shall put on incorruptible, and mortality shall put on immortality. And we'll be just like Him. So there's this groaning in our bodies right now, but there's coming a day when that groaning will finish, because this body, the body will have received the fullness of its inheritance. The salvation is going to be absolutely complete. We're already saved now if we're in Christ, and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our spirit is regenerated and reconnected to the Father. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. But this body, as you know it, sometimes has the odd pain, sometimes has the odd issue. And every now and then you see another wrinkle, or you see another little bulge, or you see another little this or another little that. Oh, I want to tell you, the body is aging. But there's coming a time when the body will be resurrected. If you're in Christ, you will be resurrected. If you're in Christ, you will be resurrected. And the nature of that body that Jesus has, which we only have partial understanding of right now, we're going to come into full understanding, because we're going to be in the same kind of body. I want to tell you, He's the seal of our inheritance. And that's only part of it. The Holy Spirit is our drink. People say, what's your tipple? You're not, that's an old saying. I'm not talking about David Tipple or some of you know David. What's your tipple? No, what's your favorite drink? Well, what's the believer's tipple? The Holy Ghost. He's our drink. And this is what Jeremiah had to rebuke the people of Israel for at the time, when they were descending into deep idolatry and rebellion against God. And Jeremiah would have to prophesy the word of the Lord, warning them, declaring what was going to happen, speaking the word in the hope that they would turn and come back to the Lord. We know they didn't. They went into exile for 70 years and so on and so forth. But he says this in Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 13, for my people have committed two evils. Remember the context of this. Is the people sliding into idolatry rapidly. And he says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Well, that doesn't describe what we're seeing around us. But I tell you what, in amongst us and in us, there's a well of living water. He's the Holy Ghost, who Jesus has made the way to be able to come and occupy and be in us and be our Emmanuel and we be His temples and all this glorious understanding and experience and truth. But the thing is, there's people all around that are hewing cisterns for themselves. They're trying to make a life for themselves. They're trying to get meaning. They're trying to create some sort of life. But it's hard work. And the cisterns are broken and they can't ever hold the water. So we've got to come back to the well of living water. Jesus Himself, the Holy Ghost Himself, the Father Himself is our well of living water. Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you knew who was standing here, rather than me asking you for a drink, I'm paraphrasing it, you would be asking me for a drink. Because the water I give will become in you a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. I want to tell you, my friend, if you're a believer, you've been baptized into Him and you've got the Holy Ghost inside of you, you've got a well of living water. You've got a well of everlasting life resident within you. You are a source to the world of the everlasting life, because the well is in you. And that's not heretical, that's biblical. Jesus said, if whoever drinks of me on the last and greatest day of the feast, recorded in John chapter 7, whoever comes and drinks of me, the water I give will be in him a well of living water. Rivers of living water will flow out of him, he said. And the writer says, this Jesus was referring to the Holy Spirit, whom would come, because the Holy Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. But Jesus has been glorified now. We're on the other side of the cross. We're on the release of the kingdom side of the cross. And now this living water is available to us. And not only that, this living water is in us. Sometimes we just have to make a decision that we're going to release that living water that's within us. Don't go by your emotions. Don't go by your physical tiredness. Don't go by aches and pains. There's a well inside of you, and that well wants out. That well wants to touch people. That well wants to bless people. That well wants to heal people and transform people. Don't be living solely by what your emotions are telling you. Yes, you may be tired one day or not so tired the next, but the well of living water inside of us is not tired. The well of living water inside of us isn't aching, doesn't have aches and pains. The well inside of us is not subject to grief or sadness. That well inside of us is a well that springs up into everlasting life. That's why we can be instant in season and out of season. That's why it doesn't matter how we feel in many respects. And if you've been a preacher long enough, you know you've got to push through what you feel in your own body and what you feel in your own soul sometime. Because there's people on the other side of those feelings that need the river of God. And sometimes you've just got to step into it and say to myself, I'm going to release that river, whether it's in word or in spirit or in gifts of the spirit or love, whatever it is. And you're going to release that river. I'm not going to allow my emotions, the pains in my body, whatever it is, to actually hold that river up. The river of God is the life of God. The river of life is the life of the Holy Ghost. He's the Holy Ghost inside of us. Don't let the natural things of our body become the barrier to the wells of living water. I know that we can walk through times that can be very grievous. You lose a spouse, you're a child or something, very grievous, and I know there's a journey there, but the well of living water inside of us has not changed. The moment we reduce the flow of the river of life inside of us to the level of our feelings or emotions, we've limited the potential of that river. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I mean. One time in Zimbabwe we were there, we were responsible for doing two or three meetings each on the Sunday, because in Harvest House Church at that time they had 9 services in the buildings. They had a building upstairs, venue downstairs, each one could seat 700, 800, 900. And by that stage, they had 9 or 10 congregations going in that one building, all with their own pastors, their own worship teams, their own this and that and so on. And we were responsible for, Janet was responsible for preaching in 2 or 3, I was responsible for preaching in 2 or 3, and you just went from one to the other because the services just kept moving. Now they've got 40-odd congregations in the inner city of Bulawayo, I think, still, let alone all the others. Anyway. So Janet, we're there, we've arrived, we're going to minister. Janet's got no voice. I mean, no voice. You can only speak about that. Is that right, Janet? I'm not lying, am I? Don't speak like that. And she's going, how am I going to do 2 meetings? How am I going to do 2 meetings? And Bishop Colin looks at her and says, there's no plan B. I don't care. You're just going to have, if you can't support, you're just going to have to do, just call on the Holy Ghost and call on the fire of God. Just do that. You know. Anyway, Janet gets through her first message and speaks. By the time we bump into each other halfway, you know, at the halfway time, where she's going from one meeting to the other, I'm going the other way, we bump into each other, she's got her voice. So she started out with no voice. By the time the finished 2 minutes, she had completely normal voice. She had the choice of either pulling out because she had no voice, or just calling on the Holy Ghost. That's basically what Colin presented to her. Call on the Holy Ghost, even if it's a whisper. But she managed to get going, and as she got going, her voice healed and strengthened, and she was away. That's what the kind of thing I'm talking about. Anyway, I'm going to finish with this. Oh, I don't know where I'm going to finish. I've got about 15 verses, passages. Here's where I'm going to finish. Thank you. That was kind of you. Luke chapter 11, verse 11. We're going to read this, 11 to 13, and then we're going to stand and we're going to pray. Is that all right? Well, we're doing it anyway. But Luke 11, 11 to 13. If a son asks for bread, from any father among you? Will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This was big deal when many people were coming out of the fear of the supernatural. In the 90s, there were still quite a few people coming out of settings where they'd been taught through various means that the supernatural wasn't for today, that the gifts of the Spirit had finished, so on and so forth. And so many people were frightened of the supernatural. So we had to teach them. If you ask the Father for Holy Spirit, the devil has not got the power to just slip a demon in there and you get the demon rather than the Holy Ghost. You hear what I'm saying? And we had to break down the fear of the supernatural. We don't have to do it so much now, I don't believe, not in New Zealand anyway. But there's still this issue. If you've come out of a setting and come out of a church or a setting where there's been nervousness concerning the things of the Spirit, or maybe manifestations where when God's power touches somebody and they do strange looking things, if there's been fear of that, and you still may be carrying a bit of that in the back of your mind, take confidence from this. If you sincerely ask the Father, because Jesus said there's coming a time when you'll ask me nothing. It's interesting. But whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it. So if you ask the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus, if you ask the Father for the Holy Spirit, you are going to receive Holy Spirit. And just as in Mark 11:23, when you stand praying, believe that you receive. See, the believing that you receive sometimes comes from the believing because you felt. Just leaving that there. For a number of months, I had to believe that I was receiving. When I would go through prayer tunnels, sheep dips, fire tunnels, whatever you want to call them, or somebody would come and lay hands on me in that earlier season of that move in 96. Because Janet would get smashed, and it was obviously something, God was doing something with her, but I wouldn't get smashed. Wanted to get smashed. But I just took the stance, because it was the only stance I could take. Lord, I'm presenting myself to receive the Holy Ghost. I believe I receive. I believe when that man lay, or that woman lays hands on me, I'm believing, I'm receiving. Most of the time I just cry. Janet laughs, shakes, rattles and rolls. I cry. It's a happy cry. So how about we stand? And we're just gonna do many of us here have received the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I'm not saying you have to ask again because you haven't received. I'm not coming from that perspective. What I am doing is I'm just wanting us to give an opportunity for people who haven't yet received, or haven't yet opened up, or haven't asked the Father yet, an opportunity to do so in amongst a community of faith and a community where there's openness to the Holy Spirit. You hear what I'm saying? And also for people online. Somebody may get baptized in the Holy Ghost or gets really impacted by the fire of God in their house today or tomorrow when they watch this. So we're doing it for them as well. Okay? Just, if you're free to, lift your hands to the Lord. Jesus, it's your total will that we receive the Holy Spirit. Sorry, I was just praying myself there. But anyway. But if you want to pray after me, that's fine. Just do it after me. Okay, we'll agree on that. Jesus, we thank you that it's your will that we receive Holy Spirit. Because you gave your life You shed your blood. You pass through death on our behalf to clear the way for Holy Spirit to be able to come. Father, we thank you that you're the perfect Father and you give the very best gifts to your children. You're not fallen. You're not twisted. There's no shadow of turning in you. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. And there's no shadow of turning in you. Jesus instructed us to ask you for the Holy Spirit. And we're confident that when we ask you for Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit we will receive. So we stand, Lord, in simple trust, honoring you, honoring your word. Father, we ask you today for Holy Spirit to fill our lives, to come upon us, whether it's today, whether it's tonight, whether it's tomorrow or in the weeks ahead. Lord, we're not determining the time. We're doing the asking. And we ask in faith. We ask in trust. Invade our lives. Fill us afresh. Baptize us in the Holy Ghost. Fill us with your grace and power. Release your gifts in us. Release the tongues. Release the fruit of the Spirit. Release the gifts of the Spirit. Be my teacher. Holy Ghost, we welcome you. You've come from the Father, made way for by the Son. So we open our hearts completely. In Jesus' name, amen. Now take the hand of the person next to you. We're going to pray one more thing. Father, in Jesus' name, because the Holy Ghost has come upon me and days gone by, and I've had encounters with you, I release your anointing. I release your power. I release the Holy Ghost to the one on my left and the one on my right. Fill them afresh. Fill them afresh. Fill them afresh. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And if you don't know Christ today, if you've never met Christ, you've never come to the Lord, now would be an opportunity for you to come up. We want to pray with you. We want to bless you and want to welcome you into the family. Come and receive Christ if that's you today. You can come right now. The rest of you, go and have a coffee. Fellowship with each other. If you want to pray for each other, go for it. God bless you. Thank you for being patient. Have a great life. God bless you.